Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC. Hello, I'm Kath Leahy. Coming up, one of the biggest stars in athletics is about to go for gold in Daegu. It's a busy day at Arsenal ahead of Wednesday's transfer deadline. A German international is set to join the club, and Federer wins his first round match at the US Open, but he's critical of the courts at Flushing Meadows.
This should feel very different to the Australian Open, and now I don't feel it really does, you know. I mean, the night session just feels... You can take huge cuts at the ball, you can run everything down. Great for tennis, but I'm not sure if it's really what the game needs.
But first to athletics, and a big performance is expected from the world record holder David Rudisha in the 800 metres final at the World Championships in South Korea shortly. The 22-year-old Kenyan hasn't lost a race since failing to reach the semi-finals in Berlin 2 years ago. From Daegu, here's the BBC's Alex Capstick.
He's the quickest man in history over two laps of the track. He was voted World Athlete of the Year. But David Rudisha, a Maasai warrior, is hardly a global phenomenon. The 800 metres world record had stood for 13 years, until the tall, imposing Kenyan broke it 12 months ago. Just for good measure, a week later, he ran even faster. He turned up in Daegu as a firm favourite for the world title. He hopes a good performance here will help raise his profile, and the man who inspired him to concentrate on middle distance running, Britain's Sebastian Coe, said this is a crucial night in his career.
He is an extraordinary talent. We have to just make sure that while we're lauding talent like David Rudisha, that actually when all the athletes sit down and turn the cards over, it's medals in major championships that tend to get remembered. And this will be an interesting test for him. If he does it here successfully, then I think the red carpet is rolled out to London.
That's Sebastian Coe, ending that report by Alex Capstick. Elsewhere, there's been a shock result in the women's heptathlon in Daegu. The big favourite and the defending champion Jessica Ennis of Great Britain could only win the silver medal. She was beaten by Russia's Tatiana Chernova. The former Olympic heptathlon bronze medalist Kelly Southerton says silver will keep Ennis focused ahead of the Olympics in 2012.
I think it might take a little bit more pressure off Jessica. Into 2012. And it's very rare for world champions a year prior to the Olympics to be world champion and Olympic champion. So it only happens to, like, Carolina Clough did it, but I kind of think this is going to just enrage Jess's fire in her belly. She knows what she needs to do, what she needs to focus on, and not be complacent in any way. And I think it's a blessing in disguise.
Well, let's round up the rest of the action on day four of the championships. In the last hour, the American Jason Richardson has been officially awarded his gold medal in Daegu after a controversial 110 metres hurdles final on Monday. Richardson finished second in the race, but the Cuban Deron Robles, who crossed the line first, was disqualified for impeding Liu Zhang of China, who had come home in third place. And Lashinda Dimas was fastest in the 400 metres women's hurdles semi-final. Now to football, and with just a day to go before the end of the transfer window in Europe, Arsenal are in advanced talks to sign the German international defender Per Mertesacker. Arsenal are desperate to add to their depleted squad after their humiliating 8-2 defeat against Manchester United on Sunday. The transfer window, of course, closes at 22 hours GMT on Wednesday. BBC's John Bennett is with me in the studio, and John has all the details of the latest transfer news.
Yes, time running out, Kath, for the big clubs across Europe to make new signings. Arsenal have a number of targets, but they're closing in on Mertesacker. The 26-year-old centre-back has 75 caps for Germany. He's the current captain of Werder Bremen, and he's 6'6" tall. He could be just what they're looking for as they look to rebuild following that humiliation at Old Trafford. But the move could end their interest in the Bolton defender Gary Cahill. Arsenal also set to sign the Brazilian left-back Andre Santos from Fenerbahce for around $10 million. And leaving the club is left-back Armand Traoré, who signed a three-year contract with QPR. Elsewhere, Liverpool have turned down a bid from Chelsea of around $13 million, plus midfielder Yossi Benayoun in exchange for Raul Morelles. And Joe Cole is discussing a move to Lille on a possible season-long loan. He could move to the French club from Liverpool. Meanwhile, Stoke have approached Chelsea with a view to signing the Belgian striker Romelu Lukaku on loan. And finally from me, the 20-year-old Italy and Inter Milan defender David Santon is having a medical at Newcastle United.
Thanks, John. Now to the highlights from the first day of the US Open tennis. There were wins for Venus Williams, Maria Sharapova and Roger Federer, but there was defeat for the Wimbledon women's champion Petra Kvitova. From Flushing Meadows in New York, the BBC's tennis correspondent Jonathan Friend reports.
Since winning Wimbledon, Kvitova has won only two matches in three tournaments. Second match defeats in both Toronto and Cincinnati, and a first round, first day exit here at the US Open to Alexandra Dulgheru of Romania. For a long while, third seed Maria Sharapova also looked at risk. British teenager Heather Watson led by a set and a break before Sharapova harnessed her overly extravagant forehands and launched the comeback. Venus Williams, in her first match since Wimbledon, won in straight sets against Vera Dolence, while in the men's championship, there were straight sets victories for top 10 players Roger Federer, Marty Fish and Gael Monfils.
Well, let's hear now from Roger Federer. Federer was pleased to get through in straight sets against Santiago Giraldo of Colombia, but not so excited about the courts in New York, which he felt were too slow.
It's just unfortunate, I think, that maybe all the slams are sort of too equal, you know. I think it should be... This should feel very different to the Australian Open, and now I don't feel it really does, you know. I mean, the night session just feels, you can take huge cuts at the ball, you can run everything down. It's great. It's great for tennis, but I'm not sure if it's really what the game needs. The game needs different, you know, speed at slams and so forth, and I don't feel we quite have that at the moment, you know, if especially the US Open is getting slower. So that's my only concern I have, but still it's going to be a great tournament and we'll see amazing points and it's going to be super athletic, which I think is fun, so it's all good.
That's Roger Federer, but there were no such complaints from Venus Williams, who was just glad to be on the court after a break from the game with a viral illness. Williams hadn't competed at all in the 2 months since Wimbledon, so she didn't know what to expect from herself.
No, not really. You know, it's always nerve-wracking to play first match after a layoff in the major. It's not really my first choice at all. But I just try to rely on experience and just, I don't know, just try to get after it. So I was pleased with the level.
Well, Venus was a straight sets winner over Vesna Dolence of Russia. As for Petra Kvitova, she appears to have lost all form since winning Wimbledon, and she crumbled to a straight sets defeat to the Romanian Alexandra Dulgheru. This was the Czech's assessment of her fluctuating confidence.
Well, I mean, I started both sets very good, and I was up mentally. I felt, okay, it's good, it will be better than before. But after... I know I made some mistakes and mentally was down a little bit, and it was all match like up and down.
Well, of the rest, top 10 players Thomas Berdych, Marty Fish, Marion Bartoli and Vera Zvonareva were all winners on the opening day in New York. The defending champion Rafael Nadal starts his US Open campaign later against Andrei Golubev of Kazakhstan. Nadal remembers this event with fondness because it's where he completed his career slam.
Emotions are higher because, you know, it was the last Grand Slam for me to complete all four. It was a very nice moment of my career, one of the biggest moments of my career, and that makes the comeback a little bit more special. But if we talk about the goal, it's the same. Played well, tried to arrive to the final rounds, that's the same. The pressure, I don't feel an extra pressure. I'm happy about how I did. I didn't play very well during the summer. I'm practicing much better here, so we'll see.
That's Rafael Nadal. Finally, the former golfing world number one, Tiger Woods, has announced he'll return to action at the PGA Tour event in San Martin, California. After 3 months out with knee and Achilles tendon injuries, Woods finished a lowly 37th at the World Golf Championship Invitational 3 weeks ago and then missed the cut by 6 shots in the US PGA Championship. He used the tournament as preparation for the President's Cup, where he'll be part of the USA team. There's more on all those stories on our website, BBC.